It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. And I do my job by introducing Brian and then, of course, asking him how he's doing. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. Now, the question that you opened the show with.
Is The Miz pitching today?
No, he's not. And I'm thinking of adding, is The Miz healthy and is he pitching today? Because no one wants to talk about it, but he's so good. However, every young pitcher, you worry about them staying healthy. Even John Smoltz, when he mentioned that.
He's a freak.
Yeah. He then added that the fear and worry is that he gets hurt because everybody gets hurt. He's hoping his pitching motion is different. So I'm asking you, should the first question they ask every day is he healthy? And is he pitching? I feel like that's too negative, given the flow of The Miz.
Yeah, I think we stick with is he pitching?
Is he pitching today? Yep, there you go.
Because if the answer is no, it's either he's out of rotation or there's something going on with him.
And it doesn't matter. We don't care why.
Yes,
we just know he's not pitching. There are two kinds of games for the Brewers. One in which he's pitching and one in which he isn't. Now, Cheerio is hitting well. But I don't know what he would have to do to be at Miz level. He'd have to hit 5 home runs and 4 at-bats to be at Miz's level. And then he gets to play every day. Though you don't really have to ask that. But, yeah, every day get up. Is Miz pitching today? Nope. All right. Next. And when my day changes. Got to figure out when and fit it into my schedule.
I totally get it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's the only thing you worry about as a Brewers fan because of how hard he throws and how many times he throws that 103 or 4-mile-an-hour fastball. Is that humanly sustainable? And that's the question, right? Like, that's the biggest question and concern.
Is that humanly sustainable? Yeah, well, and then, of course, Miz, it's appropriate to think that might not apply because he might not be human.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the next question. What planet is he from?
That's right. But everybody else gets to address. Our show is very simple. One question. Is he pitching today? Yes or no? All that other stuff someone else can deal with. You can go to somewhere else. You know at 5 o'clock, if the Brewers have a home evening game, you go to the Homer Hour or ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, you will immediately know if the Dome is open or closed, and you'll immediately know if The Miz is pitching. Now, we do have one problem if they have an afternoon game and Miz pitches. So that I'll have to go on YouTube or Twitter in the afternoon at noon.
I think the Brewers have this thing synced up that he's primetime only now. No,
yeah.
No afternoon.
Yeah.
No afternoon.
They should call
starts.
Homer. Homer, it's too big to go in the afternoon now. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
No afternoon starts.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to those games. It's got to be primetime night games, period.
Yes. And they are adjusting, and they're giving him rest, and they can easily set it up. So they just give him one more day. They don't want him. It's all about you don't want him to have too many innings. It's a big part of it so that they're ready for the postseason with however many innings they think might occur, and you got to leave open the possibility of pitching all the way through the World Series when you assess the number of innings he might have in the postseason.
Correct. Yeah. And you have to prepare that in any given series he may pitch on every third day.
Yeah.
You may need him to pitch on every third day or whatever it may
Two
be.
Two or so, three outings. Yeah, got to have all those innings available.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got to figure it out. So, don't worry about it. All you know is 5 o'clock. Home games evening, and I like it. Until proven otherwise, I will assume the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, is right. No afternoon starts for The Miz. Come on.
No.
You know, Seinfeld didn't have shows in the afternoon.
No.
But
he needs time to wake up and get his body going, too.
But it's that big. It's appropriate to compare it to Seinfeld. Like, this is taken over.
I think, especially if you're in the baseball world.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even in the baseball world. And, I know about it. And, like I said on KBN, what's the significance? I don't know the significance. I know it's impressive. That's essentially where my baseball knowledge goes, and I know it's very impressive. And when you see a pitcher doing what he's doing, you can't help but look into it more and pay attention.
Yeah, and you'll announce when, hey, I'm watching him now. Part of the deal.
Yep.
I don't know how you get Brewer games in Florida, but I know you can. You can get anything for the right price.
Of course.
But, I can help you out, wink, wink, if you know what I mean. I have friends who have friends.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, but yeah, it's that you get. It's just special. It's that's the sad part of being a great pitcher. You don't do it every day. When Cheerio's hot, he's the next game he's playing. The next game he might take a day off once in a while. It's the it's I guess also one of the problems with the NFL from the standpoint of if you have a special player. When you had Favre, you have Rodgers, you want him to play more than once a week. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get out there and let her roll. You would have, assuming you're healthy, you would have liked to have played as many times possible because we're kicking butt.
Yeah, you wanted to get going, if you could, every fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
Every fourth, fifth day, you're like, all right, by the time you feel recovered, which is normally by Thursday.
Don't tell the NFL. They might get to 25 games.
Well, it's believe me, it's all relative. It's like – early on in the season, if your team's on a hot start and you feel good, yeah, you're like you would be fine going every Friday or Saturday, right? Play Sunday, let's roll back and we'd be ready to go on Friday or Saturday. Waiting the full week sometimes is tough when you're riding a really, really hot streak, so to speak, and the team's played well. Defense is getting off the field and the offense is just putting up points nonstop. Yeah, you just want to keep, especially early in the season when the body's not too badly beat up. You start to get to January. Yeah, I think that full week is a little beneficial. But it doesn't matter what the players think. They're going to give the 18th game soon anyway. It doesn't matter. They don't care if.
Yeah, about how much money I make because I know I might not be in this league that long. And it's tough. And, it's tough on me physically. So some of that is on me, but I want as much amount of money in as few years as possible, given other stuff.
Well, what needs to happen, which didn't happen in the last when they extended it to 17 games, was all they did was say, now we're going to prorate your contract to 17 games. So they didn't add an extra paycheck like, hey, you're playing another week. Now you essentially get added another check. No, we're just going to prorate the contract you signed for 16 weeks and prorate that and essentially divide your 16-week contract into 17 weeks.
But won't the league make more money this way? And that does get to the players. Don't you get a certain percentage?
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that go into that, the revenue share. And it gets broken up into a lot of different venues, right? Look, former players, insurance.
Then I wouldn't want to do an extra game. I got to know. Go ahead.
I would say, okay, so if we're doing this now, all these contracts now that we sign now for technically it's 17 games.
They got to give us a kick up.
Yes. Now you just essentially said it's not ripping them up, but now it's for 18 games.
Yeah, I want an extra, 6%, whatever,
say, it's literally say Patrick Mahomes makes 500 grand a week.
Yeah.
Well, now you're giving him another 500 grand for that 18th week. That's just the way it should be. And that's not the way it was when they extended it out 17. So that's got to change. And if the players don't stand on at least that, which I'm sure JC Treader will, he has to, then you're just giving the NFL free money. You're just giving them free money. Like, because that's essentially what it is. And they all talked about it. You know, the NFL is, well, the salary cap implications, we're going to have to redo this. And like, that's your problem. You wanted the 17th game.
Yeah.
You wanted the 17th game.
That's like the Supreme Court when the attorneys for the NCAA were upset with their decision. They said, you're going to ruin college football and basketball. And the judge said, that's your problem. That's not mine. You just got to pay these people.
Yes.
I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what it comes down to. And I'm hoping if that does ever happen, what they need to do is go back and redo the players' health insurance, after career insurance plan. Right now, you only get 5 years. They need to go back and change that. And I think it should be how many years of service you gave. That's how many years of insurance after football you get. But again, whenever I would talk to the PNR meetings, I brought up health insurance, they looked at me like, yeah, 5 years is, you should feel really good about 5 years. So I'm like, oh, okay. He's really good about
it. Really, I see. I wish, I don't know why they didn't say this. I would think, look, it, the players don't want that. Players want as much money as we can get them, as fast as we can get them to them. And if, I don't know why they would, if you guys want that money spent differently or the benefits, then go for it. But what am I missing?
No, but like, yes, that's how they, that's the play on, is you guys want more guaranteed money. But at some point, you need to act as a buffer for guys and go, listen, you're going to want this when you're done. Like, I promise you, you are going to want this when you're done. Like, I assure you that. You're going to want more contributions to your 401k. You're going to want more contributions to the cap plan. You're going to want an extra 3 or 4 years of health insurance. Trust me, you are going to want those things. And like, that's what they don't communicate to the younger guys early on, that get guys on board with that. If you ask majority of guys that have been in the league 6 and up, hey man, would you prefer an extra 5 years of health insurance after you're done? So say you get 5 and you can get another 5. Would you like that? I guarantee the majority would say, hell yeah, sign me up for that. That sounds great. You ask everyone below that, they're not even thinking that far, because they're not even thinking about retirement or being out of the game. They're thinking about what you just said. How do I get as much money as I possibly can, right?
Yeah, that's what I'd be thinking. I mean, this has been going on for 30 years. I don't go back And I've said before, the players don't want it that badly. Now, I would put it up to you and others to realize that, and how can you sell it given they don't want it that badly? And I wish you luck.
Yeah, like, it, believe me, it's very hard. And you know, the thing is, like, I say that because I was in that seat at one point as a young guy. You know, you're in there and you're hearing about benefits and 401k and post-career health insurance, and you're going, I'm in year 1 or year 2. I'm not worried about that right now. Like, I'm worried about, let's get our guaranteed cash up. Let's get this up. Then you get to year 7 and you're like, you know, I think we got to talk about post-career insurance and all the benefits afterwards. And you start thinking about
it. We know how you can do it, because you can show them how incredibly expensive it is and how much more expensive it is now. The problem is, you go public with that, then the owners, they're going to say, well, then you're going to give up a ton for us to do that. I think it's got to be easier to sell now in terms of just putting up how much money it's going to cost them.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm JC Tretter, obviously you fight for, you always want to try to get more money, right? But the revenue split's always going to be what it's going to be. There's no way it's ever going to go 50-50. Right, it'll always be 49-51.
I like your idea. Did you ever suggest you get the number of years that you play?
Oh yeah, I brought that up in the PA meetings with DeMaurice Smith.
That is so good.
And they looked at me like, "Oh well, I think 5 years is pretty."
Don't you get to vote on that?
Not unless the board and the executive.
Because I think, like, given you do that, you got enough people, because you're getting people that are. And if sick, you only need to be in it 6 years to say positive to that.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. Right. So to me, it's it's what guys are worth, or what guys think is worth fighting for. And I really do believe, like I said, you get into year five, you're starting to look at those things more so than, am I going to get an extra $2 million guaranteed on this deal? Like, I mean, you start to weigh certain things, and I get that's a lot of money, and people may go, what are you starting? It's $2 million. Like, yeah, it is, but like, you pay your taxes, you pay your agent, you do a lot of things with it, and by the time you invest there or do whatever you do with it, like, fast forward 5 years once you're retired, and then the health insurance premium comes, it's like, what is that? Like, well, why didn't we do more with this, or why didn't we do more with that? And to me, that's where the players should really be focusing a lot of attention, is on, you know, post career and how do we take care of those needs, because the cost of that is only going to go up, right? Like, we want to talk about guys keeping hold of their money when they're done playing. Well, there's one way to do it. Extend that for guys. So that's, I mean, not,
we will, that at some point we'll talk about. So what do players do when they get to the point where their insurance coverage is out? Then you got to find another job. You got to find a job that gives you coverage, or
that, or you're paying out of pocket, right?
Out of pocket is off. You can't do it.
Yes.
You want to know how millions goes away? Be paying medical out of your pocket.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, those are things. Like,
they start working at UPS. They ought to find a business hiring all former NFL players so they can get health care. I'd have them all over the place. They'd all take it.
Exactly. You get guys to get hired all the time. And it's like, and it's, I guess it's all based on what state you live in. Like, there's obviously, each state has their own thing. Like, Florida has Florida Blue and a bunch of different, you know, everyone's got their own thing, so to speak. But, like, it's not better than free.
No, and I guess I'd have to look into it. The New York Knicks, I want to ask Brian Bulaga, because they have that feeling that he got to feel once after the Packers won the Super Bowl, and everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers, and the New York Knicks relate to the Green Bay Packers, both next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Subscribe on YouTube whenever or wherever you're listening. You're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. It's kind of taken over as far as people just don't want to listen anymore. They want to listen and watch. And Brian Bulaga always wants calls. So 1-800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text line. Liz is more. I wish that he liked me ahead of callers, but he's made it clear on a number of occasions that he'd rather have callers, and that's fine. It's the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour in that order. And when he has one, I don't know that he technically does because he's not a guest. He would be the Brian Bulaga Yingling Hotline. Just wish the Packers would make things easier by putting him in the Hall of Fame. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business, for 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Today, that same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Commercial lending. Horicon Bank gets the job done. Together, doing good for 130 years. First person I thought of when the New York Knicks won the championship is, I want to ask Brian Bulaga, because I know, and forever, he remembers that feeling when the second the game ended and they defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's world champion, not only then, but forever.
Yeah, I mean, you just watching those scenes after the game, I mean, no matter what championship you see get won, right, whether it's basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, it doesn't matter. Like, it brings you back to the time that you that I, you know, won that Super Bowl with the group of guys that I was with. And it just floods the emotions. And like, yeah, I mean, it's just not this year. It's forever. Like you said, like that's, it'll be remembered as in history for that. And with the Knicks being the Knicks and how long it took for them to get 2-1 and then win one, like special group that'll be remembered obviously forever, forever, forever. And now that game, what was that? Game 3 we were talking about?
29. Yep. That's all this. Yep. Doesn't matter. People will forget and should be emphasized. This series wasn't close. The games were close. They beat them in 5. 4-1. Yep. That's what they call. What do they call that? A something sweep? When you don't win in 4 and it's a sweep, it's a gentleman's sweep or something. But whatever. They won in 5, but forget it. 29 forever. I don't know what it is for you guys. To me, it's always that you were second in points given up defensively necessary for the Packers to win in the last 60 years. But 2010, didn't think it would happen, or you were what, 7-6 at one point? I don't know. What's what is 2010's 29?
I think you'd have to look at how many starters got put on IR. What was that number? Like, okay. wasn't it like 12?
I don't know. If 13? I have to, if I don't know, then it's not 29.
Yeah, it's not 29.
Because we'd remember it.
I mean, if that number pops up in the NFL, there's no way you're winning that game or winning that season if that many starters get put on IR. But it was a crazy amount of starters put on IR. And yeah. That was like kind of the reason for a lot of doubt that season was so many starters and guys that were out there week
Alex
one.
Alex just told us 7 opening day starters. I should remember that. But I remember there were many missing, but they had good replacements, and it wasn't the players that Ron Wolf said used to tilt the field. But
correct. Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of the moral of the story. It was a lot of unproven guys that ended up proving themselves throughout that process, right? Like, don't know if you could count on them early in the season. They get put in there, and not just put in there to play a game, but play a lot of games, and you end up going, wow, well, where'd that come from? Or I didn't expect that. And that's kind of, to me, the moral of that season, moral story of that season was guys stepping up and playing to their potential. And then a lot of those guys that did it ended up being retained and being paid quite a bit of money.
Right. My memory is you were better in 2011 because you came from nowhere in 2010. It was like, wow, it didn't feel that way. And you proved it the next year. I mean, this is really easy, and it's because of around it. But the Super Bowl, that was Favre won. The Super Bowl in 2010, Rodgers won. That's what it is. Because they each won only one, and they're historically special. So 96 is Favre, 2010 is Rodgers. What else? I don't know. If they had won more than one, each of them, then maybe it would be something else. I think I would realize, and you would have liked this to say, yeah, we won back-to-back. That's the saddest part. And I don't know which year was worse, 97 when Ron Wolf said fart in the wind, or, it's just forgotten. You lived it and played on it. It's forgotten how incredible that 2011 team was for how many weeks. There was no wonder about if you were going to win, but it's how big are you going to win by?
Yes. I mean, that was really the only question.
And it's gone.
And it just, I mean, the Kansas City game that we lost to not go undefeated in the season, we didn't play good enough. But I didn't think we'd get into the playoffs and that would happen. And that's literally what it was one bad playoff game, and you don't perform up to your highest potential and you get beat. And that's the way it goes. It's unlike all the other sports that you don't get a game 2 or a game 3
I think of the Patriots. They were unbeaten. And they brought in Randy Moss, right? Wasn't that the year?
Yep.
Forgotten. Means nothing. I don't care how many championships Brady would have won, that would have been number one.
Yes, easily.
And it's gone.
Yeah, easily to me. That would have been the best the best one. And obviously people remember the Atlanta comeback. I mean, who doesn't? 28-3 or whatever it was. But wouldn't have beat an undefeated season.
No, that would have meant nothing too.
Yeah, exactly. It would have meant nothing to an undefeated season.
I don't think, I said this about the coach of the Knicks. He's going to be the coach of the greatest one championship team. Like, he could win another one. This will be number one. He could win six. It'll be number one. And for a coach to have only one championship, I don't know that there could be a better one than he just did.
I agree.
For 50-whatever years it was. Understanding the Knicks, you could say the same probably about the Packers or the Cowboys. Or Cowboys may get there. They may get to 50.
Yeah, but they may get there.
But
so here's my question with the Knicks.
Yes.
Does Brunson go, all right, now it's time to pay me properly?
I don't yeah, I mean, I don't, but they say he gave what, $113 million that he could have had, or I don't know what it was, so they have more money. But it doesn't matter. It's like I said, they have the top four Knicks players. I said, he's one. Pick the other three. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so my guess is he'll get most of that money in the future. I don't know.
I hope so.
Come on. Yes. They're going to take care of him. Here's my question. People don't realize the connection between the Knicks and the Packers and the importance of the general manager. Okay. And it also applies to the Bucks, really. James Dolan had arguably been one of the worst owners in the history of professional sports. He took over the team in 2000, and they hadn't even won a playoff game for like 20 years. And then in 2020, he hires Leon Rose as general manager, who had been an agent. He'd never been a general manager. Was the agent for LeBron James before LeBron took one of Rose's assistants, whatever his name is, I forgot, Paul.
And then
the guy, Henry Thomas, who was Dwayne Wade's agent, they worked together. My point is, he hires Leon Rose in 2020, and everything changed. And they've now won.
And they've been good.
They went from no playoff wins for almost 20 years. They were considered, and even the commissioner said, and so what changed? They hired the GM, proving my point. The GM has always been the most important person. Even the worst owner ever, James Dolan, if he hires the right GM, he can't screw it up. And the guy brought in everybody. He built the team in 6 years. They won a title. They'd been, the last 3 years, conference semi. After not winning a series in 20 years, conference semis, conference finals, and then I don't know if Dolan says he did it, but I don't know if Rose did it. They fire the coach who had been so successful compared to any other coach, and they brought in another coach. What's my point? Should the Packers pull a Thibodeau on LaFleur? He's exactly in exactly the same situation, the belief that he's good and not good enough, and he hasn't gotten to the conference final since the first 2 years. And does it prove the importance of letting the GM decide the coach? Now, I'd have to check on Dolan because the owner made the decision. If the owner made the decision on getting rid of Thibodeau, then it doesn't apply. But the key is, what about the coach? Come on. You get the players. I can find coaches. You can't get the players. I don't care if you have Vince Lombardi. You got no chance.
Yes.
And this was all the worst owner. I mentioned this for the Bucks because they now have the current worst owner who destroyed the Cleveland Browns. But if Dolan can win, then he can win if he brings in the right GM, which is now the issue of the Bucks. But again, back to the Packers, if the Knicks can figure out a way to win, then you ask the question of the Packers. Do they need to pull a Thibodeau? And we'll have to check, you know, who decides who the coach is, but it's has been and always is about the players. And now, not only the players with Goody have been good, have they been good enough, but does that guy need to be in charge of picking the coach?
Well, I think you said it. I think you said it. I think it's always about the players and the players that are on the roster, right? Like, I mean, I think a coach is important, don't get me wrong, But if the coach doesn't have the horses in the race, it's worthless. Like, it really is, right? Like, the coach isn't going to be able to turn one great player than a bunch of average players into champions. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm trying to think of a scenario where that has happened, and I don't recall it ever happening. So, to me, you always have to have the general manager that's putting the proper guys on the court or on the field or whatever it may be for a good coach to then coach them, in my opinion. So, I don't know about pulling a Thibodeau. I think you always have to see the talent of the players as the most important thing, having the best possible players, on the field. And then your star player like Brunson pulls a Brady and takes less money, and then they have four other really good players and they win. So there's something to be said about that too.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize, they were horrible. Horrible for 20 years under Doan until he brought in a new GM who made all these changes. These are all new players that he acquired. There's a list you can look up of all the different trades, and the best one is Brunson. He signed him as a free agent.
Where was he in Dallas?
Dallas.
Oh, man. Cuban probably feels good about that one.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be too harsh because I saw him play in college. I would have bet you any amount of money, not this good. And Cuban knew he was good, but he didn't realize he was this good. So, yeah, he 33rd pick. He won a state championship in high school in Illinois. He won two in college. Now he's got one in the pros.
Isn't his dad the assistant coach?
His dad, yes. And he played. He was hired as an assistant coach June 2nd of 2022. On July 12th, his kid, Jalen, signed a free agent contract with the same team that hired him as assistant coach.
How much is his dad's salary?
Way less. But I give credit to his dad. His dad just today, or was it after the game, said, I don't care if he's my son or not. Patrick Ewing's the greatest player to ever play for the New York Knicks. And I thought, man, that's good.
Oh, wow.
Because he knows his kid doesn't give a crap about that. He only cares about one thing, winning. And Patrick Ewing was better, 10 times better than Brunson. However, Brunson had one benefit. He didn't play when Michael Jordan played.
Correct.
Though Ewing got 2 years when Jordan was gone and Hakeem whooped him. So it's not like, but I feel great for Ewing, and I don't know him, but I know he felt guilty all those years that if I had done my job, the Knicks would have a championship, and they haven't had one since. And now he doesn't have to carry that anymore. I'm not talking about fans. That's a personal thing. Because I think that he was that driven as a player. I had to do it. They haven't come close since. We were that close. I could have done this. Or when you watch highlights of him, people that are young, you'll realize how good he was. But didn't get it done. Now, I'm
the
free.
The burden is free.
Yeah, the burden he put on himself. I'm not saying anybody else. That's why he's so happy. The burden is gone. And there's no way you can't love having a guy like Brunson be the centerpiece.
I agree.
For a winning team.
I agree. I mean, again, I'm not a big basketball fan, but he's fun to watch. Like, he's fun to watch.
And the way he carries himself and everything, it's just captain is appropriate. You were talking about how players felt, and it was even true even more in hockey. Everybody mentions their family or whatever, but this is the day when players talk about team more than ever, and that they think – and always mention the players on the team. That's what feels great.
Yep.
You think it of is. whatever the specific situations are, there's some players that it's so special to win it for them.
I think to me, that's the most important thing. Because all season, you're battling out for the guy next to you, and you're you're sacrificing for the guy next to you and the rest of your team.
And you got to believe in him, you got to like him, or you would never be that good in the first place.
Yeah, correct. And it's to me always, you know, at least when I think back about that time, it was, yeah, I'm excited, but I want to see how excited everyone else is too. Like, right, I was a rookie at the time. So, like, yeah, I was excited. I was ecstatic. But, like, seeing all the other guys that have been through it for way more
Charles
time.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah, Cliff and all those guys. Like, that's who I was excited to see, and I was happy for them. I mean, yeah, I was happy for me, of course. Selfishly, I just won a Super Bowl. No kidding. But really seeing their excitement and how much it meant to them. I mean, that's almost...
As an outsider, fans observing it, this is when you see team and the strength of team from the emotion of the players saying something like that, or each player can be different about, but that's when you realize that they're special because they've created this certain bond, and they reveal that in the strongest way after they've won.
I think so. You look at all, like, normally you look at the tightest teams.
Yep.
And they end up, that's how it's expressed after they win a championship, right? Like, again, very seldom do you see teams win a championship and it's very individual based. Like, it's just not, even to me, the greatest teams, which were the Bulls when Jordan was there. And then you go back and you see his documentary. And you see how tight they were and everything. Like, it was crazy. Like, you know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, Jordan was obviously Jordan. But they were tight. Like, they were extremely tight. And you don't win that many series and games and be that perfect unless you're tight.
Fisco Auto Body, it's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. And Fisco still own the business, so they're still working on the cars. Imagine how many years they've been doing it. That's one of the reasons they're so good at what they do. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. You'll thank them, and eventually you'll thank me. Hey, yeah, Homer, you told me about them. They're good. I like that part. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, talking about the Green Bay Packers relative to the New York Knicks. And I'm embarrassed for all Knicks fans because I haven't heard any discussion about Leon Rose. There's nobody even close to the importance of the Knicks of Leon Rose. He deserves the statue. He did everything. No GM, I don't believe, and someone can look this up, has ever been as successful with an owner who was so historically bad before he showed up. Find one if you can. I'd love to know who it is. The owner stayed the same, sucked for 20 years, and then brought in a new GM, and in 6 years, after not winning a playoff, or they won one playoff game in 20 years, in the next 6 years, they win the championship.
How does that not get talked about more?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm shocked. Nothing else is. It's five times more important than Brunson. Five times more important than the coach. And again, especially the Knicks, who spoke appropriately of how terrible Dolan was. I mean, I said in New York they're the craziest fans ever, because they should have all been saying, we're not coming until he sells the team. Just like the owner of the Cleveland Browns. Because I don't know that there's ever been an example of somebody who sucked for so long. Generally, if you're that bad, you don't hire a GM. But he hired a guy who had never been a GM.
Well, he took a risk and said, if it didn't work out, then it'd be not my fault.
Be just like everything else I've done.
Yeah. Not my fault.
And when he was hired, people assumed Leon Rose would suck because everything Dolan had ever did sucked. Even when he brought in all the different people he tried to bring, you know, he brought in some name people and stuff. And yeah, I don't comprehend. It would be like not talking about Miz. Leon Rose is more amazing than Miz. How about that? That should be that. No one knows who Leon Rose is. That's the only problem. But
that is the problem.
I mean, the Green Bay Packers. Why did they change? Ron Wolf.
Yeah.
Brought the players in.
Yeah.
And we're 100%. still living to some degree in the Ron Wolf era.
Well, a lot of guys that worked under Ron or who
Ted
worked
Thompson.
Under yes, and then worked under Ted and things like that. So for sure,
and they changed that with Sherman by putting him in that position. I think Harlan said he didn't want to lose him as a coach, and he bailed on that pretty quickly and realized he screwed up, and then brought Ted Thompson in.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
But. The issue with the Packers is going to be, and I'm presenting it now because it's going to be the topic. Do the Packers need to pull a Thibodeau in terms of respecting LaFleur? He's been a good coach. We have to do better. NFC Championship, division game, and then that was the first 3 years. And in the last four, one game, and have made it to the second round only once.
Yeah.
And he's the owner, but he's not the owner. I mean, Policy basically said they're doing fine. We gave him an extension. So
yeah,
and we'll leave it to Brian Bulaga to decide, because we won't really be able to do it till the end of the season. Because, you know, if they do really badly, but I don't think they will.
No, I don't think they're going to do really badly at all.
It's a question of how good does he have to do for no one to say Thibodeau?
That's a good question.
I would say, I mean, you could still say it, but I would say NFC Championship game. Because you're doing it with a different quarterback. So, yeah, yep. I would say if you don't get to the NFC Championship, Thibodeau, the discussion will get even stronger. And I mention it now because it fits, and I understand that it really can't be brought up until the playoffs.
Yes. You can't really talk about it until you get to that point. I mean, I also think that winning the division, again, is a strong start.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I've gotten soft in my old age. Yeah, you win the division, he's coming back.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
I mean, that to me is like, I know we talk about playoffs, but like, that's the starting point this year there.
You could still call the Thibodeau if you won the division and then lost. I mean, you win the division and lose your first playoff game. Then.
Yeah, don't like that.
I'll defer to you. We have a Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Because this is a positive show other than with my Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Which team will finish last in the division? Brian Bulaga will answer next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. They just finished whatever. What did you call these workouts? The ones that matter but don't matter, or
the season for no reason?
The season for no reason. And please understand that Brian Bulaga is the kind of guy who, all things being equal, will generally say the season for a very little reason. But even you can't say that.
No, not even not with the way that they're conducted nowadays. they barely do anything now.
Things that irritate. That's one. And what are the workouts? The one workouts that you don't like that make no sense because the walkthroughs or whatever. What's the thing?
Yeah. Just walk. I mean, you're just walking through.
Right.
Doesn't do anything.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, there aren't many things in which your opinion is that strong, or I've missed them. But
no, I mean, honestly, the way things are conducted now are so much different than when I was in that. Like, it's like, what's the point of even doing that?
Yeah. What's the point of even doing that? All right. There is a point in me doing this. Milwaukee weight loss. Hard to believe. Then we'll get the show. Will finish when I'm done with this. When Brian Bulaga tells us which team will finish last in the NFC North, which he could answer, or he could pull a Wildy and not answer. Milwaukee weight loss, 229, I'm at 205. And I tell everybody that I eat less and I'm okay eating less. Eat less and okay eating less. It's that simple. And for a limited time, get $200 off the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. And here's what I like to say. There's no but. But you have to do this intense workout. No, there's no but. You don't have to do anything. You'll eat less and you'll be happy eating less. Yes, you tell them Homer said it. When they told me before I did this, they said it's almost easy. And I would agree. It's almost easy. Whatever you choose might be different than mine. But it works. You'll eat less, and you're okay eating less. I'll do this in 3 months, 6 months, and I'll weigh 205, 206, 204. Milwaukee Weight Loss. Again, $200 off the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Free consultation. They can tell you the specifics. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. That's MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. There is no but. You got to do this. Homer, you didn't tell us about but. No, there's no but. All right, Brian Bulaga will finish. Which team will be last in the North? Bears, Lions, Packers, or Vikings? And Brian Bulaga says, the only time he ever says anything negative, because I asked for it.
Vikings.
The Vikings will finish last. Wow.
Yep.
I believe the Detroit Lions will finish last, because it will show the coach is good, but he was really good with that guy running the offense. I wouldn't bet much on it. On a $1 to $100 bet, I'm betting $3 with my pick. And now, what is it? Do we have ESPN National in progress? Appropriate for Brian Bulaga. He's that good. ESPN National. Everybody together now in progress.